Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
It's me, Marty Leonards, here on 93XRT, and we are with Graham Nash. Graham, so nice to speak with you today. Welcome to Chicago and welcome to XRT.
Thank you very much. It's nice to talk to everybody.
You know, it's been a while since we chatted, and you may remember it was on your last tour, I guess, or one of the last tours, at least the tour for the last album, when you played at City Winery. And together we did a little show, a 5-song performance and a conversation in front of an audience. It was such a wonderful day. And still, I'd like to thank you for that day. And thank you for being here now. Boy, you're in Chicago doing this long residency at the Old Town School. 5 nights. That's something that do you do that in other cities, or is this something totally unique?
This was kind of unique. You know, we put the first couple of shows on sale, and then they just sold incredibly fast. And so we just kept adding dates until five.
So when you spend this much time in a city, do you get out? Do you get to enjoy the city at all?
Oh, yes. Yeah. I'm staying right next to a Starbucks, which is always great, of course. I'm quite close to the Art Museum and the Bean and et cetera.
Oh, that's wonderful. Chicago is a big city in your history, with especially with Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young. Wasn't one of your very first shows, if not the first show, in this city at the Auditorium Theater in 1969?
It was. It was the very first show we ever did in front of people. And then the next show, of course, was Woodstock.
What was it like performing here at the Auditorium? I mean, let's face it, this was the first show you had done. You had recorded the album, you had showcased the songs for a lot of your friends and a lot of people, but playing it in front of an audience, what was that night like? Can you take us back to that time? Do you remember?
Yeah, I wasn't too nervous. You know, I mean, I'd been in the Hollies for 6 or 7 years, and we played in front of a lot of people, of course. So I wasn't particularly nervous. But it was a great show. I mean, we had Joni Mitchell opening for us. I mean, how crazy is that?
Wow. And wasn't it the show that also introduced Neil as part of it? And it's sort of a surprise, yes. I would guess, right?
Yeah, surprise to everybody but me. Yes.
Wow. And then off to Woodstock from Chicago. What a weekend.
Yes, indeed. Indeed. It was a weekend indeed.
Well, your current tour, you are celebrating 60 years of songs and stories. 60 years. That's really amazing. Kudos. And you are such an inspiration in that your career has been this long. You've been making music for all these years. And yes. Here you are at where you are in your life with a brand new album with new songs, and you're touring it. And wow, that's really amazing to be to be doing that, let alone someone who's been around and performing as long as you have. Congratulations on that.
Yeah, I just wanted to let people know that even in your 80s, you can still rock.
Do you find it? Well, you've been writing songs for all these years, writing songs for the new album. Is it a different process than how you've written before, or have you?
No, it's exactly the same. I have to feel something before I write about it, of course. But no, I've always been a writer, and I'm still doing the same thing. I wake up in the morning and I get on with my day, and I see what's going on throughout the world. And, if I find something I need to say something about, I will.
Yeah. And you do pay attention to what's going on, and you write about what's happening in the moment. And we'll talk about some of those songs on the new album called Now, which is being released next month. But before we go any further, I really just wanted to express condolences for all of us on the loss of David Crosby. I mean, we felt it here, and I can't imagine what it was like for you.
It was terrible for me, and obviously terrible for his wife, Jan, and his son, Django. Terribly sad for me, of course. You know, he was my best friend for over 50 years. We were getting together towards the end of his life. We were emailing and voicemailing. So it made his death just a little easier for me, although, you know, much harder for other people.
Yeah. Yeah, the loss and grief is really a hard thing. Here at XRT, we have just, well, around the same time that David passed, we lost a longtime DJ here, one of our colleagues who we've all worked with for 40 years, and he passed away from after a bout of cancer. And I know that for us, boy, the grief is just weird because it's it really comes up and hits you when you least expect it.
It sure does. And especially as you get this old, you know, it's a natural process, you know.
Yeah. You know, I was looking at your photo book, A Life in Focus. I purchased it recently, and going through those photos that are just so beautiful, you capture a lot of the people that we have followed and you have known personally for all these years in such intimate ways. But the photos that really stood out to me were the photos that you had taken of David back in the day. And
yes,
what I noticed in those photos, just a real heaviness and a sadness in those photos. It almost kind of explains a lot of the stuff that went on in David's life just through those photos from so long ago.
Yeah, I try and be invisible when I'm taking pictures. David had no idea I was there in any of those photographs.
Mm. There is one photo in particular that really stood out to me, and it was a portrait. And I guess it's kind of a famous portrait, but it captures David in a way that makes him look like, it looks like a promo still from Warner Brothers in the 1940s. Like, you know which photo I'm talking about? He looks like he's in a John Ford film.
Yeah, I sure do. Yeah, it's one of my favorite images I ever took of David. Mm.
Do you still find yourself taking photos to the day? You must do it all the time, right?
I'm looking at my camera right now.
Someone who's been a photographer for so many years and, you know, using really great cameras. It's so different now with phones and everyone able to snap shots, but I don't know.
Yeah. You see, there are 300 million phones and only 12 photographers.
That's funny. Well, congratulations in advance on the new album.
Thank you.
You know, you were saying you write songs all the time. And what I've noticed about your songs over the years is that you have a way of writing really great pop songs that are, that get right to it. They get right to the point.
Yeah. I learned that with the Hollies.
Right. Yeah. You've been doing that for so long. Is there a songwriter that, that inspired you to write in that fashion?
Oh, of course, yes. You know, you have to start with Dylan, of course, which is at the very top, and McCartney, of course, and Paul Simon and James Taylor, you know.
Right.
Yeah, I know a lot of really fine writers.
You've been saying with the new album that this is the most personal record that you have made, and I find that a little surprising, maybe. Just because almost everything you've written has been really personal over the years. You write in the first person often. Why is this such a personal record for you?
I think it's because of the four or five songs from my wife, Amy.
Mm.
She is a brilliant artist, Amy Grantham, and a very, very bright woman. And I love her dearly. We've been together for 9 years and we've been married for 4 years.
Mm. Wow. So that's nice. So it is about your life right now. And the title of the record is Now, and the first song is called Right Now. So this is really in the moment for you.
Yes, it is. And it was a brave thing to open up the album with a sentence that said, I used to think that I would never love again. Wouldn't you like to hear the second line?
Well, see, that's something that you've done all along. You really hook people with that first line, or oftentimes, at least in the past, you in the first line, you give us the title of the song.
Yeah. I want to get you immediately. I'm not interested in waiting, you know, 8 verses until you know what the hell I'm talking about.
Yeah. Well, from right now, it goes into a song called Better Life, which is another defining song of this record. And it's about leaving the world a better place.
Yeah, we have to leave the world a better place. I mean, you know, especially for our kids and our grandchildren, etc. And we are facing many problems, you know, I mean, not only politically, but environmentally. But, you know, in a way, Better Life is kind of an extension of my song, Teach Your Children.
Hmm. Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. Yeah. I get that. Also, you know, you have a long history of writing songs that are political and songs of a social nature. You know, going back to the days with David and Steven and Neil, and on your first solo record, Songs for Beginners, a song that is, well, here we are in Chicago talking, but a song that was, is a defining song about this city. That still rings very, very true.
It sure does. And that's an amazing thing. You know, I do understand that my music has lasted this long, but at the same time, it's a shame that we haven't learned from history.
Right. You know, you talk about grabbing people right at the beginning, and that song certainly does because the image is so stark. And I wonder how many younger people or people who've come, you know, over the years listening to that song even understand what that opening line is, but that's a photo ripped right out of the headlines with Bobby Seale at the Chicago convention trial. Wow.
Indeed. It was a very interesting time politically. And we thought Nixon was bad.
Exactly. And you have songs about someone else in Golden Idol. You talk quite frankly about the MAGA,
MAGA tourists, yes, taking the hill. Yes, they are. Yeah. You know, you have to talk about the times in which you live. We have to, we have a duty as artists to reflect the times in which we live, you know, and that's basically what I'm doing with now.
Yeah, that's nice because there is a, you know, as a songwriter and an artist like yourself, there's a certain responsibility you feel. Is that right?
I do. Yeah. I feel a distinct possibility to have to talk about the times in which we live.
Mm. And you were saying also that some of the songs on this record written for your wife, Amy, and there are some really beautiful love songs, heartbreaking songs.
Yes.
Songs like In a Dream is heartbreaking and Follow Your Hearts. They're really beautiful songs.
Thank you. And Love of Mine, too. Great, nice little song.
Yeah, yeah. One of the fun songs on the record is Buddy is Back, or Buddy's Back. And that's a really sweet song that brings a lot of stuff together, going back to the early days of the Hollies. And also the fact that you share the song with your former partner in the Hollies, Alan Clark.
Yes.
Kind of a nice thing.
Yeah. On his record, he sings the lead and I join him in the choruses. And on my record, I sing the lead and he joins me on the choruses.
Wow, that's
cool. It was a song about the Hollies' love for Buddy Holly. I mean, Holy Toledo, we were the Hollies. Yes.
Right. Well, that's fun. And you also appear on Alan's record throughout, right?
Yes, I think I'm on 8 or 9 tracks.
Wow. Did you work in the same room together for the first time in a long time, or were you able to send?
No, it was done completely remotely. He was thousands of miles away.
Wow. That's really amazing. You have been friends with Alan Clark since you were what, 6 years old?
Uh-huh.
Wow.
Yeah, he's my oldest friend.
It's so great to have those kinds of relationships and friendships going over so many decades. I mean, I can go back to maybe someone I knew when I was 12, but you know, to have a lifelong friendship is really special.
It's really special. Yeah.
You really like it. Yeah, there's also a song on the record about Crosby, Stills, Nash and Young. I watched it all come down.
That song is about the ecstatic feeling of making really fine music. And at the same time, you know, arguing with 3 friends.
Well, there must be a lot of that. There's always a lot of that in a band. And
always, yes.
Yeah. Do you have Do you wish that you fellows would have been able to make more music together? I mean, you did with David, and there were fits and starts, but
yeah, of course that's why I wrote "Wasted on the Way."
Yeah,
because you can't play me a beautiful song and then stop. What else is in there? Come on, show me. Let me see this.
Yeah. It must be difficult, though, for a band where three or four people who have made music separately have careers and then come together as a whole. And Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young were able to do that probably better than anyone else. What you created was something that no one had ever really heard before. It was just so new and fresh at that time, and still today holds
Indeed.
Up really, really well. But
and the Deja Vu record was just inducted into the Library of Congress.
Wow, yeah. So I think what I'm thinking is that it's tough to bring all that talent together and make it last for a long, long time. I mean, yeah, well, last for a long time, but you know, to continue to do it over a long period of time.
Yeah, well, you know. We're musicians.
Yeah. You have a great band that tours with you right now. Tell us about that.
We have Shane Fontaine on guitar. He lives in Studio City in California. Todd Caldwell, who co-produced the record with me now, is Todd Caldwell. He lives in Brooklyn, and he's the keyboard player.
Mm.
So there'll be three of us.
And you're keeping the legacy of alive of what you did with Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, and also with the Hollies, and you're playing those songs now. It's really great. It's a great opportunity and a privilege, I think, and a treat for us to go to the shows and experience those songs again through you.
I'm looking forward to it. Thank you, Marty.
Oh, you bet. And I'm looking forward to going to the show tonight. And yeah, the set list looks great, and I think it's going to be a wonderful time. So thank you for taking a few minutes out of your day today to chat with us about it. And all the best on the release of the album now, which is coming out on May 19th, and the rest of your tour. And, you know, have some more fun in Chicago, and hope to talk to you again sometime. It's really great. Thanks a lot.
You're very welcome, Marty. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.